FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here in studio with my partner Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, who is back in the saddle again.
I know. I love it. I missed you guys last week.
Yeah, we missed you.
We missed you too.
My week just was not complete. I don't know how to describe it.
I get it. Sometimes you're out there. Music,
so. You had free reign. Yeah, did you enjoy it? I didn't catch the show, so.
We had Mike Marfell in here, yeah. The fisherman, and we did a very fishing-heavy show. The weather is turned around out there, and it's starting to get nice outside, and I thought it was a perfect time to talk about the outdoors and fishing. So we had a lot of fun with Mike last week, but it's just not the same without you.
It's the stash. That's what it is.
It is. It's the whole thing.
I agree.
It's just, you can't be away for long.
Who was I with somebody the other day and goes, I don't remember. And I was like, that's because I'm standing here. Like, I don't remember the whole context, though. It was quite entertaining, to say the least.
So it's been a couple weeks. I did my best last week to tell people about everything happening at Southern Armory from the 10% off suppressors. Is that still a thing?
Yep, that's still
good,
a thing.
Because I talked about it last week. But you're better at it than I am. What's happening at Southern Armory?
So right now we have a bunch of used guns in stock. So if you're not on Facebook with us, then you're missing out. And what I say by that is, like, when we buy a used gun, we get it in, we throw it on our wall as used, right? And we only try to buy, like, the creme de la creme, like the primo used guns. If they're just really beat up, really rough, need work, look like they've been just shot out, we just pass on them. Mm-hmm. Where other dealers will just, snag them up and charge you still a premium for them. So let me tell you about a story about a Ruger LCR.
Yeah.
Ruger, it's the light compact revolver. It's a great carry gun. And we had it on the wall for, this just awesome price for a gun that literally sat in a box and never got used. And it lasted a whopping day and a half on the wall.
Wow.
So, and it was on our social medias. We put it up and we had people, telling us, I'm interested, And so if you're not on
that
Facebook with us, if you're not on Second Amendment Radio with us, you are missing out.
You can miss out on an unbelievable deal.
Right, yeah, it was like something like $100 off.
Wow,
over a brand new one. This one, literally, I looked at it and I was like, "There's nothing in the barrel. There's nothing in the cylinders. Mm-hmm. There's always a little bit of wear, on a gun, especially if they've used it." And this had nothing.
Just used the term "shot out." So, I played slow pitch softball for 25 years, and you'd get a new bat every couple of years, and they're okay, but then they break in, and then they're unbelievable, and then at some point, they just the ball just stops jumping off the bat, and the bat is dead. It's just at some point of its life, it's gone dead, and it's time to get a new one if you want full if you want the full performance out of that bat, out of your bat. Is it that way with guns? Does every gun only have a certain amount of
life,
a certain amount of shots? Is it all about how often it's used, or like what else can shorten the life of the gun?
So lots of things can shorten the life of a firearm, because a firearm is just more than just a chunk of metal. It's firing pins, springs, barrels. So when you take all that kind of into account, there is a useful life, and there is recommended intervals to change certain parts. So depending on what firearm you have. So we get a lot of people in, and they're like, I'm at my 15,000 round or 20,000 round interval with, name your flagship, SIG, Glock, Smith & Wesson, whatever. And then those manufacturers will have a recommended list of parts that gets changed. So we've done those services on lots of guns, like SIGs. It's like an extractor and some roll pins and a firing pin and, just some minor stuff. And then when they start getting really, really high round count, generally you're getting into springs.
Gotcha.
Glock, I want to say it's like 10,000 rounds on a spring. So, if you're like me and you shoot like 250 250 rounds, 300 rounds at the range at a given time. You go a couple times a month. Now you can see it's 600 rounds a month. Let's just say 500 just for argument's sake, because that's easier.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you'd be changing out your spring every 2.5 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're cheap parts. You know, you're talking like 15, 20 bucks, 25 bucks, depending on what kind of spring you get.
And probably Southern Armory is where you should be taking that to get done, unless you know exactly what you're doing.
Right. And they're, well, the Glock springs are pretty easy to drop in. It's just the main spring. They're encapsulated. So when you do a cleaning on your gun, you're going to take it out anyway. So you can come in and you can buy the part. Other parts, yeah, you're better off just having us take care of it, because you've got to dig pretty deep into the gun to do it.
So no matter what, though, if you take care of the gun totally, you change out the parts when you're supposed to, you clean it regularly, is there still a point where it's like it's going to run out of life? Or if, as long as you keep it up, you're going to be fine?
So not necessarily.
It's not necessarily the same gun anymore because you've changed all the parts.
You've changed, like, especially if you look at like some of my guns, it's like the barrel doesn't even have serial numbers on it. Like, yeah. It's not the original barrel. I've had to put a new barrel in.
Right.
So as long as the frame and the slide don't crack and they have good, how do I say this? I don't want to say lockup because that's not quite the term. Lockup more is like barrel and slide, but like sling, or where the frame and the slide kind of meet, you know, there's not a lot of play in there.
Yeah.
And yeah, the parts are still good. Eventually, you know, the fear is something will come out of spec. But you're going to have to shoot a lot to get to the point where you're sliding your frame out of spec.
Gotcha.
And I can generally figure that out pretty quick.
Right, right. So, what else happened at the store?
Talked about guns. We still got the suppressor thing going on. Oh, we've been getting a ton of phone calls about Missouri nullifying all federal gun control. I don't know if you saw that article pop up.
I have, and
you got a question, I'm sure.
In the next, no, well, I do, but we have in the next segment, we have State Rep Nick Schroer.
Going to
be joining us, so he can hopefully
shed some light on it.
Shed some light on those.
So the
things.
The big thing, everybody's like, you know, can I come in and just buy a suppressor? And it's like, it's not law yet. It got passed, so it has to be signed by the governor,
right?
And then when it does get signed and gets by the governor, it won't go into effect until August 28th of the year that year,
right?
Would it
mean that you could just walk in and buy a suppressor?
So, yes and no. So, if I'm going down the correct line, and the rep Schroer could probably give us more because he's an attorney.
Yeah.
So, basically, the firearm would have to be manufactured in Missouri. Right, even down to the metal being made in Missouri, and then it could be transferred in Missouri without the oversight of the federal government. But if it's a Gemtech or Silencer Co. or, you know, Dead Air, now all of a sudden that is a registered item, and therefore you'd have to go ahead and pay the tax stamp and everything.
Do we have any of that? Like, are there gun makers that make every piece of the gun or every piece of the equipment in the state of Missouri?
And the answer, I'm going to go, is no.
Yeah.
You know, we have good industry in Missouri, but it just seems that we don't have everything in Missouri. Like, we have AR manufacturers in Missouri, several that I can think of. We have ammunition manufacturers here, et cetera. So, but not one that, you know, I can say 100% that gun is made in Missouri. I'll give you an example. Like, bolt carrier groups are made by one company, and they're not here in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And then every company that does bolt carrier groups buys them from this particular company, and then they put their own coating on them, or, you know, whatever makes that bolt carrier group special. Just because it's such highly specialized machinery, it's expensive to set up. So, and there might be an oddball.
So, what will change if this law goes through?
So,
at least as far as you can deduce.
Well, if the metal is made in Missouri, I don't even know if it has to come down to the raw material, but if it's made in Missouri 100% with no outside parts, then you could technically, I guess, buy it. The problem is going to be is what is the federal government going to do if they want to prosecute you?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a case, and I didn't have time to search for it thoroughly, but I believe it was a Kansas case in which some guys had built machine guns and all the parts had essentially come from Kansas. And I believe the Fed still prosecuted them. I can't. Mm. I got to find the case and kind of brush up on it. But we're a long way from there.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, we're not. It went through the House, right? But I don't think it went through the Senate
yet. Hasn't been through the Senate.
And
hasn't
it's still
got to
be signed by the governor. So
hasn't faced whatever challenges it'll
right.
probably face.
So it, we got a minute.
Certainly not in the law yet.
Yeah, we got a minute. So, you know, call. You know, that's what I can tell you.
Right.
The other thing we got too is the gun-free zone bill. Right, that was sponsored by Missouri Firearms Coalition, mm-hmm. our good friend Alex.
Mm-hmm.
That is sitting in, I think you guys already know this, that is sitting in
Purgatory, essentially.
Yeah, purgatory is like laws and something
mm-hmm.
committee. And so our Facebook page, we posted up a short deal about that with contact information for everybody.
Oh, cool.
So you need to go over and need to call those people.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
Yeah, rattle some cages.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You do.
CCW classes, advanced pistol classes.
Yeah. We had a CCW class last week
mm-hmm.
and gave them a little civics lesson. The topic of medical marijuana came up.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, we had talking a little bit about the suppressor thing and open carry. So a lot of good stuff. And just kind of explaining, you know, how the different levels of government from, you know, your city, your county, your state, your federal government kind of all interact. And just because the federal government is not going to say it's the federal government, it was basically Trump said he would support and in the war on marijuana. I don't know if you saw that article or not. You're Mr.
Mm-hmm.
News, so I'm sure you did.
Mr. News.
You are Mr. News.
I am.
So, and everybody was like, yeah, you know, and I was like, well, wait.
Right.
They're not going to legalize it federally. They're just not going to say it's illegal, right? So there's no affirmation, right? It's like, there's not, you can, you can't. They're just going to say, we're not going to regulate
it. We're just done chasing you.
Right. And then what's going to happen is because it's not illegal, but it's not legal, it's going to come down to the states
yep.
to figure it all out. And so we did, you know, kind of a
which
little civics
lesson. Which is where it belongs.
I'm with you. It absolutely mm-hmm. belongs at the state level. And, you know, I was like, but currently, you know, it's illegal on the federal level, so therefore, on the 4473, if you have medical marijuana and a prescription, you have to, you know, check that, yes, you're an unlawful user because it's still federally
Chad's giving
illegal.
Us the rap signal.
I know. So you, and House Bill 238 is the one that I proposed on the medical marijuana. And we'll talk
that's
to you.
That's the Aaron Tarlow bill.
That is the Aaron Tarlow bill.
Yeah, I love that.
All right,
bring it home. One mile east of...
Yeah, so, sorry, my bad.
You're good.
So it's Southern Armory, located 1 mile east of 27044 at 9901 Watson Road, and southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
Hit the music, Mr. Producer.
We're going to break. When we come back, we are going to talk to State Rep Nick Schroer. They're at about the halfway point of the 2019 Missouri legislative session. So we're going to ask him what is on tap for the second half. We're going to ask him about these different gun bills that we've discussed a little bit, see if there's anything that we're missing, get an overview on what is happening in Jefferson City in the coming weeks. What can we expect? We'll find out from State Rep Schroer next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Aaron Tarlow, and Chad Ellis in studio. And as we mentioned in the last segment, joining us now on the phone is our friend, State Representative Nick Schroer. Rep Schroer, how are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you all for having me on again.
Yeah, you bet.
You're always welcome.
How busy is your life right now? We're just past the halfway point through the 2019 legislative session. How you feeling just overall about the progress you guys have been able to get done in the first half of the session and looking forward? Are you feeling good about what's happening in the second half? Or are you frustrated? Are things not going the way you want them to go?
No, I couldn't be happier. I've got a handful of my bills in the Senate already. The Aaron Tarlow bill, which we'll talk about soon, I've got that in the Senate. But we've done some big things this week. We passed the budget, sent it over to the Senate. My pro-life bill, the Missouri Stands for the Unborn Act, that's over in the Senate. I'm probably going to have a hearing on that next week. And Even got interviewed by CNN, of all people, this week as well. So you might see that. And my nickname that you gave me, Newsmaker Nick.
I was just going to say it, Newsmaker Nick.
Got a little bit of truth to that, I guess.
No kidding.
You know what you have to do with CNN? You ever see the old Simpsons episode where Homer's been accused of like some sexual misconduct, and they've got the clock in the background, and it keeps going from like different times in the interview, and they just spliced it all together?
Yes.
That's what you need to do with CNN. You need to have that clock running in the back.
No kidding.
So, well, when I was talking to him, I kept thinking of Donald Trump's, "You're fake news."
Yeah,
I couldn't get that out of my head.
Let's start with that medical marijuana bill. So that is, we're talking about the situation of now that medical marijuana is legal in the state of Missouri, but but marijuana is still technically illegal on a federal level. If you are a patient that gets prescribed medical marijuana by your doctor, particularly if, you know, think about a cancer patient or somebody else suffering from, you know, some eye issues or chronic pain issues, and you get prescribed this medical marijuana, but then you also want to make sure that you have a gun to protect yourself, technically you're breaking federal law, and that would be illegal. So I know you've been working, and I know you and Aaron talked a whole lot about that in the very beginning, how to sort of reconcile that situation. Give us an update on where that's at.
Well, that's the issue that we have, is the selective enforcement by the feds on keeping marijuana illegal, but then they selectively enforce that illegality and only do so when they're taking away your Second Amendment rights. On the show a number of months ago, I indicated that this is an issue. We needed to address it. We're not just going to dangle somebody's liberty and say you pick one, whether it's your health or protecting the health and well-being of your family. So this is a blockade, which I thank Aaron for bringing this up. This is how legislation should be made, is talking to people that it's going to impact in the state of Missouri. So I'm very happy that we actually amended this onto another medical marijuana bill by Representative Ron Hicks, another huge gun advocate, Second Amendment advocate. I actually replaced Ron Hicks when he moved out of the district, and now he's back, and we're working together, and that bill's moving over into the Senate right now. So it literally had massive support from Republicans, Democrats. But, you know, if at first you don't succeed, amend a Senate bill, amend a House bill, and that's exactly what we did, because this bill, it didn't get a hearing. There were some other huge bills that I had, such as the first bill that I filed was the Missouri Stands for the Unborn Act.
Yeah.
Some are saying it's the most comprehensive, strongest piece of pro-life legislation ever in the United States. But the second piece, or the second bill that I filed, was the Aaron Tarlow bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully we can get some action on that soon. Keep us posted as that makes its way through, and if you get good progress on that. Also, I know that there is. So, Aaron and I were just talking about the I don't know. I draw a blank on how to say it. Getting rid of the gun-free zones, essentially.
Right. Yeah. So they have the gun-free zone to repeal off of the Bi-State Development Agency. And then they have one that is going to replace, pull off. It won't be all 17 places under the current legislation.
Yeah,
but it'll be a good majority.
So,
of them.
So getting that gun-free zone situation repealed has sort of stalled in the Missouri legislature. Correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe
for a couple of years.
Yeah, but there is a bill that deals specifically with Metro Transit that has a chance of making a little bit more progress, the way I understand it. Can you explain what's happening with that bill?
So that bill, my senator, Senator Bob Onder, he's got the Senate version, and Representative Ron Hicks and Representative Adam Schmelting, all of us are from St. Charles County, so you're in good hands in St. Charles County when it comes to the Second Amendment. But that came through general laws a couple weeks ago. The transit bill, the Metro Transit bill, is one which would repeal that gun-free zone on the Metrolink. We had individuals that came and testified, very, very compelling testimony. But we think that might get voted out this week, this upcoming week. It's more of a narrowed issue. It's a single issue. We're just repealing one of the gun-free zones, where the other bill, Representative Taylor's bill, he's been working with Alex Salzman, a friend of the show, and they've been working on this thing for a couple of years, which gets a bunch of heat and is pushed a lot of misinformation into the media, a lot of misinformation into the halls of the Missouri House. And some of the people are scared because they think that this is going to mandate mandate that there are going to be guns in bars with people drinking and the right. old Wild Wild West argument, which it's quite the opposite.
It is.
This would still allow business owners to put that sign on their door that says, nah, not in this bar. We're not going to have right. guns in this bar, or not in this daycare, not in this school. So ultimately, it might be an issue where the sponsor, a friend of mine, Jared Taylor, and I were discussing this, maybe putting a couple amendments on there to focus on campus carry. I know you look around and you see a lot of wackos that, by law, number one, shouldn't have a gun on the campus of the school that they're attending. But somehow that law is not deterring them from doing so. So I think, you know, we send our kids off to these institutions. I'm working under the radar on some information presented to me on Mizzou and some stuff that is very concerning to me. I'll probably unveil in the next several months. But I think campus carry has to be on the top priority list when we're talking about the Second Amendment. And that might be something that Representative Taylor is going to have to do with his bill, because this is, I believe, the third year that it is kind of stalled.
So what I found so funny was I am a member, or let me correct myself, I was a fan of Missouri, Mothers Demand,
Action.
I was on their Facebook. Remember, I joined it on the show.
Yeah, you signed up.
I joined it. And
and you've been a charter member ever since.
And I already got kicked out.
Oh.
They're on to you.
They figured it out quick.
They're on to you.
So they were actually talking about the gun-free zone bill, and they said, just imagine at your church, at your child's school, at this place, guns are just going to be dropping everywhere and going off, and there's going to be all this chaos. And I said, no, there's not. I said, you don't need to fear-monger it. I go, the reality of the situation is this. You know, we have all these other places that you can carry, and magically we don't have guns going off randomly.
Going off, yeah.
Right? So why all of a sudden changing the law would this happen? And I said, you know, if you guys would focus your – well, there was a couple other things said, like there's probably better arguments to put forth, you know, against this if you really wanted to do it, and then we'll knock them down too. But simply telling people, you know, magically making it legal is going to make it automatically dangerous is just – irresponsible. So then I said to them, why don't you guys focus on stuff that matters, on getting Second Amendment issues through? And my big pet peeve is states like Illinois that don't call NICS for their background check. That is like my
biggest pet peeve. Well, and that's what we saw in Aurora, Illinois.
Absolutely.
You had an individual who, by law, should not have.
We've talked about that a bunch, yeah. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, by law, the individuals shouldn't have had. We've got the laws on the books that would have prevented him from legally having the guns. But a state that's controlled, it's been under Mike Madigan's thumb for many years, just can't seem to actually do the right thing and uphold you.
Uh-oh.
Nick? Uh-oh.
We lose him?
I think we lost him.
Mm. You, Chad, work on getting him back, and Aaron and I'll just discuss here.
Right, kind of what he was getting to is, you know, Illinois does not call NICS; they call the state police for a background check. Now, if he would have come here to Missouri, or Iowa, or any of the border states that all call NICS, he wouldn't have been allowed to buy a gun, which means that mass shooting in Aurora would have never happened.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just, you know, was pointing that out to Moms Demand Action that, you know, there is common ground between gun owners, you know, NRA and other gun advocacy groups on how to get the guns out of criminals' hands and prevent this. And that is a very small thing to change, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have the federal government.
It's an easy thing to change.
You just have the federal government wave some dollar bills because, you know, Illinois is broke, right? So if we're going to give them money federally, and all they have to do is take the state police and say,
can
well,
I ask you how they found you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I commented.
Because of that?
I commented.
So because of you pointing that out, they were like, oh, you don't belong here.
Right.
And threw you out.
Yeah, and it didn't take long. That post was maybe active for an hour. Oh, the best part about that other two, somebody else said in that thread,
We got him back.
If
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, Nick. Nick's back. Good.
So,
I just asked Aaron to explain how he was informed that he was kicked out of the Moms to Men Action Group.
Yeah. So I posted, you know, that they should require you know, all states to go to NICS for background checks.
So they were on to you.
And then, you know, I said, you know, this stuff doesn't matter. And then somebody else said, well, if they're going to make it gun-free zones everywhere, my God, they better make it a gun-free zone in Jeff City in the Capitol. And so, of course, Aaron says, it's already like that. You just can't carry on the chamber floors. So
and they were like, okay, he's gone.
And that was it, man. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, no, I was totally inflammatory and telling them they were wrong. Like, there's got to be people replying to this.
Yeah.
There's no
yeah.
doubt. And I wasn't getting any after like a day. So I went and looked for the post, and I was removed.
Hey, Nick, let me just we're talking to State Rep. Nick Schroer, by the way. On that Metrolink carry situation, do you think then that there is a better chance of one day soon being able to at least get legislation where people would be able to carry on the Metrolink? And does that expand to buses? Or is that in the same sort of purgatory as the rest of the no carry zones?
No, I think the chances are very good. And I am not sure. I believe that it's already been passed out of the Senate. I could be wrong.
Okay.
But I think since it is more narrow and it only is focused on that rather than, you know, a number of different gun-free zones, I think that probably has a better chance, similar to how Democrats have chipped away at our Second Amendment rights and abortion rights many, many years. They do it piece by piece by piece. And that's why I think the struggle getting Jared's bill, all of the gun-free zones, is maybe a little bit harder, and a lot of the misinformation, like you all just indicated, even online, is produced. It's harder to combat that and convince people what the facts truly are when there's so many different things out there, you know, encompassing schools, bars, churches. But no, I think, you know, from my perspective, there's a large possibility that if that Metro Transit bill gets onto the floor, that we will have a discussion, possibly by way of amendment, on Jared Taylor's bill.
Very good.
Right, and the best part, I think, about that bill, in the CCW class, I said, you know, there's only a few places I don't think you should be not allowed to carry guns by statute, and everybody was kind of looking at me, and I was like, prisons, jails, and mental institutions are the big ones, and then private property posted off limits, and courthouses were in there as well, just because tempers can kind of flare in there.
Right.
All right, while we've got you talking to State Rep. Nick Schroer, I want to just quickly rapid fire a couple of other issues that have been making news that you guys have been working on there in Jeff City that don't necessarily have to do with firearms or guns, but I think it's interesting enough that it affects everyone. One of the big ones that we've heard about is the vehicle inspection situation.
Right
now in Missouri, it's every 2 years you have to have your vehicle inspected. The new bill, I think, is 10 years. That would go away unless your car is 10 years old or has over 150,000 miles on it.
Correct.
How is that bill going? Are you feeling like that is something that will actually pass soon here in the state?
Well, there's a lot of there's a struggle to get the original bill across. I know the Highway Patrol and law enforcement came out, and they did address some concerns of having vehicles that are, you know, things wrong with them on the roads. The bill sponsor, great guy Jay Eggleston, he took it back. He amended it to what it is. It's the 10 years or 150,000 miles. Brought it back to the floor, and it passed. Very, very large numbers it passed. So it's in the Senate right now. It might have a Senate hearing in the next week or so, but I know that there is some appetite to get that thing done in the Senate as well. So it's got a very good shot this year.
As a guy who drives a lot and drives downtown St. Louis every day from the county into the city, infrastructure, it's been a big talking point. It's a real thing. There's some roads that are just embarrassing around the state of Missouri. What's the latest on the infrastructure struggle?
So the budget that we passed this week included, I believe, $100 million towards the infrastructure and roads and bridges. We also defunded Planned Parenthood for the second year in a row, which we can talk about that on another show. But I know that there are lots of bills out there trying to address infrastructure and trying to address our roads and bridges. I know with the flooding going across our state, a lot of that's being exposed too. So I had lunch, or breakfast rather, I had breakfast with a group of us, sat down with the governor this week, and there are a lot of things that we were discussing that can be done. So that's still on our top priority list.
Very good. And then I also saw a bill that would eliminate free primary, open primary elections. So if you're not registered to the Republican or Democratic Party, you would not be able to participate in those primary elections. Are you a supporter of that? And is that something that you think is gonna pass?
So I actually, in the perfection process, when the vote's brought up and amendments can get put on, typically it's passed with a voice vote. For some reason, somebody requested a roll call vote, so I did. I supported that bill. I was actually a victim of this issue, which was brought up on the floor, that in certain counties and certain cities that are, let's say, heavily Republican or heavily Democrat, will have the other party try to sneak in. They know that they have no shot at the general election, so they'll sneak in on the primaries. And I had, when I first ran in St. Charles County, there were several people that were known Democrats in the county, ran as Republicans. Of course, they were defeated, but this is an issue. It would not prevent anybody from voting for an independent. If you want to run an independent, you can pull that ticket. And the general election, you get to vote on everybody, issues and everybody. So if you want to vote for a Democrat for a city council and a Republican for state representative, you have that right and that ability. So I think at least having the discussion this week was good. It ended up passing, so it's going to the third read calendar. But there's a little bit of clarification that we need, or the bill sponsor, rather, needs to provide to House members, because it passed by a slim margin.
Yeah, I saw it was like 78 to 72. It was a very, very close vote. I would love to discuss that with you further one day. Don't have the time for it here. But as a person who fancies himself a libertarian, I do not, you know, I'm not registered Republican or Democrat. I never planned to be. And so, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about that, you know, because there have been times when there's not a libertarian or a strong libertarian on a ballot somewhere, and I have and I want to vote in a primary, and I wouldn't be able to in this situation.
I think we need a representative or Senator Colombo one day.
Hey, let's do it. Can you help me?
Let's start right now.
You help run my campaign?
Absolutely.
Oh, you know what? That brings this. You know what? In a funny way, that makes me think of because everybody jokes that one day I'm going to run for mayor of Florissant, even though I am a big supporter of our police chief, Tim Lowry, who's currently running for mayor.
The son of the former mayor.
The son of the former mayor. That is correct. Son of the former police chief and mayor.
Right.
Family big in Florissant. I hope he's not our last mayor. Are you guys at all to the point in Jeff City where you're talking about city county merger, or is that something that you're sort of right now still leaving to the communities here in the, you know, in the St. Louis area, and not addressing it at a statewide level yet?
That was actually brought up in general laws this week, and I'm on eight different committees now. But I definitely wanted to attend that one. I grew up in Ferguson, Missouri, St. Louis County.
Yeah.
Have a lot of family and friends still out there. And I know from talking, and I was even on Mark Cox earlier this week, and the day before, Dean Plocker, the chair of the committee, was on Mark Cox. You can all stream that at, I guess, on the radio app, radio.com app, or YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, we discussed it, and I've always said, and I want to try this today as neutral as possible, but I've always said, is it right to have the entire state voting on something that's going to affect only two entities? Is it right? No. But is it legal? Yes. And that's why these things that came up that were presented would actually piggyback off of the actual legality that's in the Constitution that requires a statewide vote. Representative Plocker had a piece of legislation that would say, okay, keep that intact, but in order for it to go into effect, the majority of the affected districts would actually have to approve of this as well. So ultimately, you have the statewide vote, but St. Louis County and St. Louis City, the majority of those two alone is the second piece of this puzzle that would have to approve it for it to go into effect. There were a couple things similar to that. The interesting thing was nobody was there supporting the city-county merger.
Yeah, that's kind of the way that's my experience in talking about city-county merger also. Unless I'm talking to somebody from Better Together, I've not really ran into too many people that are in support of it. And my version of what you just said would be, is it right? No. Is it legal? If it is, let's fix it.
And that's what we're trying to do.
It shouldn't be, yeah. Very good. Great stuff. As always, that is State Rep Nick Schroer. Hope to talk to you again very soon. If people want to follow you on social media so they can keep up with everything that you are working on there in Jefferson City, what is the best place to do all that stuff?
Hit up my website, Nick4Rep. It's all spelled out, Nick4Rep.com. That links you to my Facebook and Twitterverse, which this week we ended up getting a bunch of new trolls to the team.
Nice.
So we keep it exciting on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm very proud of the team we're building and the troll universe out there.
I love it. I love it. That's great stuff. All right. That is State Rep Nick Schroer. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Hope to talk to you again real soon. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, my friend.
You too. Y'all have fun.
Thanks, Nick. Bye.
All right. We got to take a quick break, but we're not done. A little more Second Amendment Radio coming up. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to FM News Talk 97.1. The dulcet towns of Aaron. Sounds of Aaron Tarlow. Singing along.
My wife. Somebody's hiding. All
right. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. Karaoke but right here every week.
I do. And I mean, I wish I could, you know, have like the disco balls going, but there's supposedly this really awesome karaoke place in U City. It's like a Korean karaoke place, and I looked it up online. It looks pretty baller.
All right,
and I want to go.
We'll go sometime,
dude. I'm there. Like you don't even gotta ask me twice. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing after the show? So, but yeah, I really want to go do karaoke, and this is not to be like how do I say this? Nationalist? Is that right? Right? Nah, it's not like racist, but like Asian culture, like Japan and stuff.
Yeah.
Korean karaoke's huge deal.
Yeah.
Like it's like a, like, I don't want to say it's like a sport, but it's like a sport.
Like, I don't want to say it's like a sport, but it's like a sport.
It's like a sport over there. Like,
yeah.
I'm not lying. Like they're very serious about
karaoke.
So
that's the place, those are the people that go
with. That's what I'm thinking.
All
like
right,
I want to see what they do and
I
how
like
awesome
it.
They are. And then
Chad, are you in?
Chad's definitely in.
I'll watch.
She's going to hang?
I'll watch.
How about you just hang?
All right. And then,
that's fine with me.
And then, anyway, so we go there. Oh, yeah, get him drunk and he'll be on.
He'll be up there singing.
Like, we'll do some Run DMC, the three of us. It'll be great.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, tricky, Run DMC, there. But anyway, so I want to go.
I'll do a part.
Yeah, but they have this app on your phone that like it'll tell you your pitch. You can download the song and it'll give you all the words and the rhythm, and then it'll show you like where you need to be pitch wise. Because I think that's my problem. I know the words, and I got the rhythm.
But you got to get that pitch.
I got to get the pitch right.
All right, we need to get back on track.
Right,
Second Amendment Radio, not karaoke radio.
2A radio.
Right.
Find us on Facebook at SouthernArmory.com.
That's
find us
right.
on Facebook at Second Amendment Radio. Or if you're a Twitter person, the great at Tony Colombo 971.
Yeah, great stuff.
And Aaron's
nice
got
job,
Aaron's
man.
Got a Twitter too.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tarlow 7644.
There you go.
And I don't really tweet too much. I more just monitor.
Right. Okay. All right.
But when I do tweet,
but you do a lot of communicating on the Facebook.
The Facebook live
so Southern
streams
Armory
and everything
and Second
else.
Amendment Radio on Facebook. Go and follow those.
Yeah.
Questions here. Sometimes, and we have to do this from time to time. Go back and address a question that we have talked about in the past, because a lot of times those are the questions that we get the most. Just because we talked about it once a few months ago doesn't mean that people aren't still asking those questions like crazy. And one that I get all the time for you, my friend, Aaron, is what is your favorite gun to fire or type of gun to fire?
So that's like really, really broad.
Right, I know.
I know. So
are you more of a handgun guy or a shotgun rifle guy?
I'm a handgunner.
Okay.
I've
See,
always
we're narrowing it down.
Yeah, I've always been a handgunner, and so with that being said, you know, I've got my
little revolver guy.
I do. That's what I got on today.
Yeah,
I got on my GP100 with 357 mags in it.
Okay,
and I like that gun. I think it's a so. Am I a revolver guy? Am I a handgun? Or you know, a semi-auto guy? And so my generic answer to that is generally I'm an ammo sexual. If it shoots, I want to shoot it.
Yeah.
And I've shot, you know, from your 22 handguns, 25, 32 autos, all the way up to your 50 GI. That's like the biggest. You know, obviously, I've shot some 44 mags. I've got a 629 myself. It's an awesome shooting gun with mags or with specials in it. But so people go like, you know, what revolver do you like? And I'm like, well, I got like four. Like, you know, right. You got to remember, I play with a lot of guns.
Right.
So I've got it kind of narrowed down. So if you've got the budget and you want to get a J-frame, get a Performance Center J-frame. And the Performance Center's just got a really amazing trigger. I guess they polish it. The geometry is a little bit different, but it just functions really, really well. And you can do what we call like staging the trigger. Maybe I'll do a little short video on this. Pull out a bunch of revolvers and just throw them up so people have an idea. So then,
always keep an eye on the Southern Armory Facebook page, Second Amendment Radio Facebook page, because Aaron does a lot of really cool tutorials and stuff.
Yeah, whether we're working on guns, maybe I'll sell some guns to some folks.
Always a good idea to just keep an eye on that stuff.
And then we're going to be doing a news segment too, like probably once a week. You know, 30 or 45 minutes, just kind of discuss something in the news in addition to the radio show. So we're starting to get a lot more active on the socials.
What is more reliable, revolver or a semi-auto?
So revolvers can have timing issues too, okay? And semi-autos can jam. So, you know, you can really say they both can jam. You got to test your gun, and you'll figure out what's super reliable.
So there's not a generic answer to that?
They used to be like revolvers. But today with modern manufacturing, they're able to really dial in the specs and then the reliability of the ammunition for semi-autos. It's a toss-up. Really what it comes down is, how does it feel in your hand, and can you function it? Can you open the slide, or can you lock the slide back? Can you open the cylinder? But back to the revolver conversation, Performance Center J-frames from Smith & Wesson, by far great value for the dollar. Now, can you get a regular J-frame and bring it in and have me do a bunch of stuff to it? Yes, you can. Long story short, you know, so if you want to build it in stages, you can. If you want just kind of a out-of-the-box, good revolver, I'm really a big fan of Ruger SP-101. I've got a 3-inch version of that. I carry it. I really like it. If you want a little bit bigger revolver, GP-100. Obviously, I've got one on today, and you could do a lot to those. And then if you're kind of looking for something to hunt, like alternative means, the Model 629 from Smith & Wesson, phenomenal 44 Magnum. You can run your 44 specials in it too. And those are kind of my four picks on revolvers. When you go over to the semi-auto world, I've got Glock, I've got Sig, I've got, you know, a bunch of 1911s, I've got, you know, just a lot of semi-autos,
right?
You know, so
what are your thoughts on the judge
by the governor from Smith & Wesson?
Yeah same.
So you can still shoot your 410s, you can still shoot your 45 long Colts, but the governor has been machined to allow you to shoot 45 ACP. And that's a benefit, because that ammo's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Also, Taurus has got some timing issues. I mentioned those just a few minutes ago. Timing on a revolver, you know, the cylinder does not quite line up with the barrel and you start shaving lead. Okay? And I've had a few Taurus revolvers come in where the gun has been turned and the primer is hitting what we call the primer pocket. So you have the case, right? And then in the center you have the primer, and it's hitting on the edge of where the primer is and the case is. So that means that revolver, that cylinder, is just a little bit out of time. And let's say that firing pin would actually be able to pop that primer, you would destroy the gun.
Yep.
Because the bullet would impact the frame.
Right. So. Good stuff. All right, we got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. It is Second Amendment Radio. Don't forget, you can follow Second Amendment Radio on Facebook, along with Southern Armory on Facebook. You can always download the podcast of this show on our website at 971talk.com, or even better, the radio.com app. It's all free, and you go back and make sure that you don't miss anything, and you get more of that great information like we just got from Aaron. More Second Amendment Radio coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
The other party try to sneak in. They know that they have no shot at the general election, so they'll sneak in on the primaries. And I had, when I first ran in St. Charles County, there were several people that were known Democrats in the county, ran as Republicans. Of course, they were defeated. But this is an issue. It would not prevent anybody from voting for an independent. If you want to run an independent, you can pull that ticket. And the general election, you get to vote on everybody, issues and everybody. So if you want to vote for a Democrat for a city council and a Republican for state representative, you have that right and that ability. So I think at least having the discussion this week was good. It ended up passing, so it's going to the third read calendar. But there's a little bit of clarification that we need, or the bill sponsor, rather, needs to provide to House members, because it passed by a slim margin.
Yeah, I saw it was like 78 to 72. It was a very, very close vote. I would love to discuss that with you further one day. Don't have the time for it here. But as a person who fancies himself a libertarian, I do not, you know, I'm not registered Republican or Democrat. I never planned to be. And so, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about that, you know, because there have been times when there's not a libertarian or a strong libertarian on a ballot somewhere. And I have and I want to vote in a primary, and I wouldn't be able to in this situation.
I think we need a representative or Senator Colombo one day.
Hey, let's do it. Can you help me? You help run my campaign?
Absolutely.
Oh, you know what? That brings this. You know what? In a funny way, that makes me think of because everybody jokes that one day I'm going to run for mayor of Florissant, even though I am a big supporter of our police chief, Tim Lowry, who's currently running for mayor.
The son of the former mayor.
That is correct. Son of the former police chief and mayor.
Right.
Family big in Florissant. I hope he's not our last mayor. Are you guys at all to the point in Jeff City where you're talking about city county merger, or is that something that you're sort of right now still leaving to the communities here in the, you know, in the St. Louis area, and not addressing it at a statewide level yet?
That was actually brought up in general laws this week, and I'm on eight different committees now. But I definitely wanted to attend that one. I grew up in Ferguson, Missouri, St. Louis County.
Yeah.
Have a lot of family and friends still out there. And I know from talking, and I was even on Mark Cox earlier this week, and the day before, Dean Plocker, the chair of the committee, was on Mark Cox. You can all stream that at, I guess, on the radio app, radio.com app, or YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, we discussed it, and I've always said, and I want to try this today as neutral as possible, but I've always said, is it right to have the entire state voting on something that's going to affect only two entities? Is it right? No. But is it legal? Yes. And that's why these things that came up that were presented would actually piggyback off of the actual legality that's in the Constitution that requires a statewide vote. Representative Plocker had a piece of legislation that would say, okay, keep that intact, but in order for it to go into effect, the majority of the affected districts would actually have to approve of this as well. So ultimately, you have the statewide vote, but St. Louis County and St. Louis City, the majority of those two alone is the second piece of this puzzle that would have to approve it for it to go into effect. There were a couple things similar to that. The interesting thing was nobody was there supporting the city-county merger.
Yeah, that's kind of the way that's my experience in talking about city-county merger also. Unless I'm talking to somebody from Better Together, I've not really ran into too many people that are in support of it. And my version of what you just said would be, is it right? No. Is it legal? If it is, let's fix it.
And that's what we're trying to do.
It shouldn't be, yeah. Very good. Great stuff. As always, that is State Rep Nick Schroer. Hope to talk to you again very soon. If people want to follow you on social media so they can keep up with everything that you are working on there in Jefferson City, what is the best place to do all that stuff?
Hit up my website, Nick4Rep. It's all spelled out, Nick4Rep.com. That links you to my Facebook and Twitterverse, which this week we ended up getting a bunch of new trolls to the team.
Nice.
So we keep it exciting on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm very proud of the team we're building and the troll universe out there.
I love it. That's great stuff. All right, that is State Rep Nick Schroer. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Hope to talk to you again real soon. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, my friend.
You too. Y'all have fun.
Thanks, Nick. Bye.
All right. We got to take a quick break, but we're not done. A little more Second Amendment Radio coming up. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to FM News Talk 97.1. The dulcet towns of Aaron. Sounds of Aaron Tarlow. Singing along.
My wife. Somebody's hiding. All right.
Anyway. Okay. Yeah. Karaoke but right here every week.
I do. And I mean, I wish I could, you know, have like the disco balls going, but there's supposedly this really awesome karaoke place in U City. It's like a Korean karaoke place, and I looked it up online. It looks pretty baller.
All right,
and I want to go.
We'll go sometime,
dude. I'm there. Like you don't even gotta ask me twice. Like, what are you doing after the show? So, but yeah, I really want to go do karaoke, and this is not to be like how do I say this? Nationalist? Is that right? Right now, it's not like racist, but like Asian culture, like Japan and stuff.
Yeah.
Korean, karaoke's huge deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a, like, I don't want to say it's like a sport, but it's like a sport.
Like, I don't want to say it's like a sport, but it's like a sport.
It's like a sport over there. Like, yeah. I'm not lying. Like, they're very serious about
karaoke.
So
that's the place, those are the people that go
that's
and
sing
with.
That's what I'm thinking. All like, right, I want to see it. What they do and I how like awesome it. They are. And then.
Chad, you in?
Chad's definitely in.
I'll watch.
She's going to hang? I'll watch. How about you just hang? All
and then,
right.
All right.
That's fine with me.
And then, anyway, so we go there. Oh, yeah. Get him drunk and he'll be on.
We'll be up there singing.
We'll do some Run DMC, the three of us. It'll be great.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, tricky. Run DMC. There. But anyway, so I want to go.
I'll do a part.
Yeah, but they have this app on your phone that, like, it'll tell you your pitch. You can download the song, and it'll give you all the words and the rhythm, and then it'll show you, like, where you need to be pitch-wise. Because I think that's my problem. I know the words, and I got the rhythm.
But you got to get that pitch.
I got to get the pitch right.
All right, we need to get back on track.
Right.
Second Amendment Radio, not karaoke radio.
2A radio.
Right.
Find us on Facebook at SouthernArmory.com.
That's
find us
right.
on Facebook at Second Amendment Radio. Or if you're a Twitter person, the great at Tony Colombo 971.
Yeah, great stuff.
And Aaron's
nice
got
job,
Aaron's
man.
Got a Twitter too.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tarlo7644.
There you go.
And I don't really tweet too much. I more just monitor.
Right. Okay. All right.
But when I do tweet,
but you do a lot of communicating on the Facebook.
The Facebook live
so Southern
streams
Armory
and everything
and
else.
Second Amendment Radio on Facebook. Go and follow those.
Yeah.
Questions here. Sometimes, and we have to do this from time to time. Go back and address a question that we have talked about in the past because a lot of times those are the questions that we get the most. Just because we talked about it once a few months ago doesn't mean that people aren't still asking those questions like crazy. And one that I get all the time for you, my friend, Aaron, is what is your favorite gun to fire or type of gun to fire?
So that's like really, really broad.
Right, I know.
So
are you more of a handgun guy or a shotgun rifle guy?
I'm a handgunner.
Okay.
I've
See,
always
we're narrowing it down.
Yeah, I've always been a handgunner, and so with that being said, you know, I've got my
little revolver guy.
I do. That's what I got on today.
Yeah,
I got on my GP100 with 357 mags in it.
Okay,
and I like that gun. I think it's a so. Am I a revolver guy? Am I a handgun? Or you know, a semi-auto guy? And so my generic answer to that is generally I'm an ammo sexual. If it shoots, I want to shoot it.
Yeah.
And I've shot, you know, from your 22 handguns, 25, 32 autos, all the way up to your 50 GI. That's like the biggest. You know, obviously, I've shot some 44 mags. I've got a 629 myself. It's an awesome shooting gun with mags or with specials in it. But so people go like, you know, what revolver do you like? And I'm like, well, I got like four. Like, you know,
right.
You gotta remember, I play with a lot of guns,
right?
So I've got it kind of narrowed down. So if you've got the budget and you want to get a J frame, get a Performance Center J frame. And the Performance Center's just got a really amazing trigger. I guess they polish it. The geometry is a little bit different, but it just functions really, really well. And you can do what we call like staging the trigger. Maybe I'll do a little short video on this. Pull out a bunch of revolvers and just throw them up so people have an idea. So then,
always keep an eye on the Southern Armory Facebook page, Second Amendment Radio Facebook page, because Aaron does a lot of really cool tutorials and stuff.
Yeah, whether we're working on guns, maybe I'll sell some guns to some folks. Who
always
knows.
A good idea to just keep an eye on that stuff.
And then we're going to be doing a news segment too, like probably once a week. You know, 30 or 45 minutes, just kind of discuss something in the news in addition to the radio show. So we're starting to get a lot more active on the socials.
What is more reliable, revolver or a semi-auto?
So revolvers can have timing issues too, okay? And semi-autos can jam. So, you know, you can really say they both can jam. You got to test your gun, and you'll figure out what's super reliable.
So there's not a generic answer to that?
They used to be like revolvers. But today with modern manufacturing, they're able to really dial in the specs and then the reliability of the ammunition for semi-autos. It's a toss-up. Really what it comes down is how does it feel in your hand and can you function it? Can you open the slide or can you lock the slide back? Can you open the cylinder? But back to the revolver conversation, Performance Center J-Frames from Smith & Wesson, by far great value for the dollar. Now, can you get a regular J-frame and bring it in and have me do a bunch of stuff to it? Yes, you can. Long story short, you know, so if you want to build it in stages, you can. If you want just kind of a out-of-the-box, good revolver, I'm really a big fan of Ruger SP-101. I've got a 3-inch version of that. I carry it. I really like it. If you want a little bit bigger revolver, GP-100. Obviously, I've got one on today, and you could do a lot to those. And then if you're kind of looking for something to hunt, like alternative means, the Model 629 from Smith & Wesson, phenomenal 44 Magnum. You can run your 44 specials in it, too. And those are kind of my four picks on revolvers. When you go over to the semi-auto world, I've got Glock, I've got SIG, I've got, you know, a bunch of 1911s, I've got, you know, just a lot of semi-autos.
Right.
You know, so...
what are your thoughts on the judge?
The judge? By the governor from Smith & Wesson.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Same.
So, you can still shoot your 410s, you can still shoot your 45 long Colts, but the governor has been machined to allow you to shoot 45 ACP. And that's a benefit because that ammo's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Also, Taurus has got some timing issues. I mentioned those just a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Timing on a revolver, you know, the cylinder does not quite line up with the barrel and you start shaving lead. Okay. And I've had a few Taurus revolvers come in where the gun has been turned and the primer is hitting what we call the primer pocket. So you have the case, right? And then in the center you have the primer. And it's hitting on the edge of where the primer is and the case is. So that means that revolver, that cylinder is just a little bit out of time. And let's say that firing pin would actually be able to pop that primer, you would destroy the gun.
Yep.
Because the bullet would impact the frame.
Right.
So.
Good stuff. All right, We got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. It is Second Amendment Radio. Don't forget, you can follow Second Amendment Radio on Facebook, along with Southern Armory on Facebook. You can always download the podcast of this show on our website at 971talk.com, or even better, the radio.com app. It's all free, and you go back and make sure that you don't miss anything, and you get more of that great information like we just got from Aaron. More Second Amendment Radio coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1.
Get more at 971talk.com.